Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
On the morning of Friday, February 21st, a group of us got lively with Defend the Family International out of Springfield, Massachusetts, Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth About Homosexuality out of the Chicago area, Greg Quinlan with Living Free of New Jersey, an ex-gay group, and I spoke at a news conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. A statement from Linda Harvey of Mission America in the Columbus area was also read. We were not through all the speeches when our press conference was interrupted by a self-described homofascist named Ellen Sturtz. She's also self-described as an angry old lesbian on her business card. We get to hear some of those clips of her interruption and then Scott's follow-up after the incident, shall we call it. My guest today is fellow quote-unquote troublemaker, Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Thanks, Peter, for being here.
Hey, Diane.
Hey.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot, Diane. Thanks for coming to D.C. and being at that press conference, and thanks for all you do.
Well, not a problem, and it was very interesting press conference, shall we put it like that. Anyway, why did we...
I knew you would like it, Diane. That's why I wanted you to be there.
That's why you kept insisting that I be there. I was very glad to be there, though, because really, as we talk about this and as we hear the clip, people can only get a feel of what actually took place on that morning of February 21st. So I was glad to be there to actually witness it firsthand. So why did we...
We talk about homofascism, but normally we don't get such a graphic example of it.
And then for her to confess.
This is the sort of thing we face all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So why did we hold the press conference? Why are we there, and why were the homosexual activists there? And there was actually a good turnout as far as media, in addition to the homosexual activists who were there. But why did we hold the press conference?
The press conference was a twofold purpose. Number one was to support the Russian laws. Now, I want to say off the bat, and I said this in my speech, and I think you did it as well, I am not about supporting Vladimir Putin. The more I learn about Vladimir Putin, the more that he seems to be sort of a Russian version of the Soviet thugs. You know, he's a KGB agent. They're doing this takeover of Ukraine where they don't even have the guts to say that they're Russian troops. So I think they're saying that now, but they wouldn't even admit that they're Russian troops on the ground in Ukraine. So, you know, this is not about supporting Putin. What we are concerned about is the promotion of homosexual propaganda to young people. And Russia banned that. They're trying to uphold Christian, Judeo-Christian historic norms. And so the press conference was, number one, in support of that. Number two, it was to announce this new coalition, this umbrella coalition called the Coalition for Family Values, of which both our organizations are a part. Scott Lively took the lead on that. And what that is basically an opportunity to pull together the various principled pro-family groups from all over the world. And when I say principled, I mean those who are committed to opposing the homosexual activist and transgender agendas. You know, there's been a tendency in our movement to say it's really not about homosexuality, it's just about defending traditional marriage. And we see where that's gotten us, Diane, where marriage is under greater threat than ever.
Right.
And we know, and we've talked about this many times, the real issue is sexual immorality. It's homosexual behavior, which is wrong. And so we want to pull together the disparate groups from all over the world. And there's I think, over 30 we have now already. But by the time we're done, it'll probably be hundreds. And basically say, we stand together against this effort to normalize homosexuality and gender confusion. And we want to find ways to work together more effectively.
Actually, the number, at least one of the articles I read that said that there's about 75 from around the world who signed
on. Already? Okay, I'm behind.
Yeah, about halfway behind. Yeah, that is, I have signed on to the statement that was sent out. And it was interesting that Scott also said during the press conference, during the Q&A that we finally got to, that there had been just that morning a Ugandan group had contacted him about becoming a member of the Coalition for Family Values, and he turned them down because of the law that was just signed, the bill that was just signed into law by the president of Uganda. So he turned them down because of the very
I'm not sure. I have not studied that law, and I think the principle is, you know, we don't support, obviously, Diane, you and me, and many others like us. We don't support, we're not about jailing homosexuals. We certainly don't support any violence towards homosexuals. However, we are in support of criminalizing homosexual behavior. And the reason is that the law is a teacher, and the decriminalization of homosexuality has spawned this Pandora's box
of
homosexuality. And so, like, you know, these countries are looking at the United States and Britain, basically, and they're saying, wow, when you decriminalize homosexuality and you start talking about gay rights, essentially it leads to these radical agendas that even so far as the United States, where you have, you know, the transgender agenda, which is basically laws that allow boys who think they're girls to use the girls' locker room and the girls' bathroom. This is the Pandora's box of homosexuality and transgenderism that I believe other countries do not want in their country. And so, you know, the liberals talk are proud of American homosexuality. They're proud of out and proud homosexuality being taught as a civil right and being compared to the fight against racism, which is a spurious analogy.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Homosexuality has nothing to do with the noble fight against racism. In fact, racism is a sin and homosexual behavior is a sin. So it's ironic that they're trying to make the gay rights movement part of the noble civil rights heritage that we have in this country, but that's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. And part of that is that they're trying to say that they're born that way, that they're born homosexual, thus it's the same thing as a civil right. I mean, that's why they're trying to latch on to the civil rights movement, I think, to further spread the lie that they're born that way and they cannot help it. It's the same, they're equating it.
Well, I think its ends justifies the means, Diane. Anything they can, this is how the left operates. The end, which would they would say, you know, full gay rights, as they would put it, that's their language, justifies the means. And so that's why we see fake hate crimes, where, you know, there's not enough real hatred, evidently, so they have to make up hatred, so-called hate crimes.
Right.
There's a recent one about a transgender student, you know, alleged hate crime, and I guess in a was it a college dormitory or something?
No, it was actually a high school bathroom in California.
Okay.
That's when you're talking about?
Yes, and this is another fake hate crime.
Yeah.
So, you know, the left seems to be, ends justifies the means, and one of the most obnoxious ones is this equation with the civil rights movement. Blacks hate it. African Americans are fed up with the gay rights movement for continually pushing this ridiculous analogy. The latest one is Arizona, of course, where they're trying to say, oh, this is like Jim Crow laws, and they're using the legacy of Jim Crow to advance gay rights, and that's just wrong.
It is absolutely wrong. But unfortunately, there's not enough people who fully understand our history in this country, so the left can get away with that, because as they rewrite history, people don't know enough about American history to be able to say, that's not right. You know, you're just not right on what the Jim Crow laws were. So
And also when you've got the media basically as the cheerleading voice of the gay lobby, it becomes very difficult, and this is another reason for our coalition, it becomes so difficult to make our basic case. For example, only now the media are admitting that there are these cases where religious freedom has been trampled over by so-called gay rights.
Yeah.
Now, they still say that the gay rights, most media, it seems, are, you know, they were against us in Arizona. This is the Arizona law, which was aimed at protecting people's religious freedom against being forced to affirm homosexuality. The media still takes their line, but they at least have to admit that, yes, there are Christian photographers, Christian bakers, Christian bed and breakfast owners who are having to basically bury their own freedom of conscience in order to serve this idea of normalized homosexuality.
Yeah. I want to read a statement. As you're saying, Scott Lively, he was brainchild behind this. As you're saying, we need to put the strong, I would say strong pro-family groups, the ones that are strong in the issue of homosexuality, and look at that, don't just look at the marriage issue, but look at the entire homosexual agenda under one umbrella, the ones who are willing to become part of this coalition. But a statement was sent out prior to the news conference on the 21st, asking pro-family leaders from around the world to sign on to. So I think this was probably a list that Scott had, because he's been involved in the international community more so than you and I believe. Definitely more so than me.
Yes, definitely.
And the statement says, in part, quote, the vast majority of the people of the world do not accept the notion that sexual deviance should be normalized. It is time that those voices are heard on the world stage before the so-called elites of the Western powers impose their inverted morality onto everyone through the manipulation of international law, which they clearly intend to do. Then it goes on to say, we believe that the pro-family movement is not being well represented at the moment, because most of the people that are in the leadership positions are afraid to speak the plain truth because of the media. were not against gay marriage and gay adoption because they're just bad public policy. We're against them because homosexuality itself is harmful to the people who practice it and to society, unquote. And that was just part of the statement. And again, we had about...
Yes, and with that, we completely concur, and absolutely. And so we're trying to return to a basic discussion of what's at issue, which is behavior.
Exactly.
The other side believe people, you know, are inherently homosexual. They talk about sexual orientation, who you are, but we know that it's really about behavior. And let's face it, other societies do not want to normalize perverse behavior. They just don't.
Absolutely, they don't. And they feel, when you look at, we mentioned Uganda here in the interview, and we know that they in, I believe, Nigeria, since then, has also signed a law onto the books that would criminalize. I'm not sure.
It's tricky because Nigeria just had the case in which some men were whipped. And so this is a difficult thing because we want to have homosexuality criminalized. I don't want draconian laws, and I know you don't either, Diane.
Right.
And so it's finding the balance. Now, remember that the United States used to have laws, which basically, constitutions even, I think, that state constitutions that called homosexuality the crime against nature.
Yes, absolutely.
And used very strong language.
Yeah. And I know that.
I believe, wasn't there even like severe penalties in some states?
In
that
some
doesn't mean
states, yeah.
Very few homosexuals have ever been severely punished for homosexuality in the United States or in North America, but they had these laws. And Scott made the point that a lot of these African laws are, they have excessive verbiage that doesn't really match what the penalty is for the conduct.
Right, and he said one of the reasons the African laws are so harsh is because the African countries don't have the police force that we have. So they intentionally make the laws harsh as a deterrent, to discourage people from engaging in these activities because of the harsh punishment attached to them. But
was the Nigeria case, was that a Sharia enforcement, or was that a...
That's a good question.
I did not have to look into that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know as much about the Nigerian law as the Ugandan law, and I do know that they did take the death penalty out of it that it had originally been in there, and their main emphasis is on repeat homosexual offenders and homosexual assault of children, and if you engage in homosexual activity, if you are HIV positive. Those are some of the components.
I wouldn't want severe penalties for anybody who sexually assaulted a child.
That's for sure.
Whether it was a heterosexual or a homosexual assault. And the reason I ask about Sharia is the big irony of the left is they love crusading against Christian nations like Uganda, but the most horrific punishments against homosexuals occur among radical Muslims, you know, where you actually have one of the punishments is stoning or pushing homosexuals off
hanged.
A tall building.
Yeah, some have been hanged, too. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's Iran, I believe there was a hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So, these are the Muslim nations are the most abusing of civil rights. But, again, it's coming back, and it's not an easy question because we do know that Lawrence v. Texas, taking sodomy laws off the books, helped usher in this larger gay agenda of celebrating homosexual behavior. And, you know, homosexual behavior is not healthy. You know, we talk about this amazing fact that 94 to 95% of HIV cases among young men ages 13 to 24, and that includes boys, teenagers, 13 to 24, 94 to 95% of those cases involve homosexual sex.
Right.
And so why is our culture celebrating homosexuality when homosexual behavior itself is close, especially among males, is closely linked to the spread of diseases?
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous how it is and how they're threatening the African countries that have passed laws dealing with homosexuality. But let's change gears here and look back at the National Press Club on the 21st. And as we were making our presentations and such, we were interrupted by this self-styled homo-fascist who we will listen to the tape where she actually declares herself a homo-fascist. But we were interrupted by three homosexual activists led by Helen Sturz, who is the angry lesbian, as she declares herself. And one was a Russian. He was, I'm assuming, seeking political asylum because he is saying that he's been persecuted because of his homosexuality in Russia. That's my guess. They held two signs. One said, "Lively is deadly," and "Stop killing us" was the other one. So we're going to listen to it's about a 4.5-minute clip. We're going to listen to that clip where they interrupt the news conference and you and Scott try to regain control and finally have to get security to remove the three activists. And you also hear in the clip, you'll hear Greg Quinlan, who is ex-gay, responding to the sign that says, "Stop killing us." He says, "Stop killing our free speech." That's one of his responses there. Let's listen to the 4.5-minute clip of that encounter and what happened there.
Scott, Peter, there are many people who would
That's great.
I just would like to stop for a moment.
Can we have our presentations first?
Well, I'm just going to continue. There are many people who are in the
room. This is not your precedent.
This is not your
precedent. Ma'am, it's not your precedent. Can you wait till...
Wouldn't be.
Ma'am, it's not
your precedent. Good afternoon.
Right. You'll just have to wait a few more minutes.
Can you wait?
Just wait. And you'll be willing to listen.
Yeah, I'm absolutely willing to take whatever questions you have.
That's a question, not a speech.
I'm speaking, and it won't be as long-winded as the other ones.
Right,
my name is Diane Gramley, and I've finished driving 6.5 hours to get here to participate.
Would you stop the killing? Stop killing speech.
Does the National Press Club have a security service?
Yeah, no.
Do we need security?
I mean, we just
need another press conference.
You're not able to do it here. This is not your forum.
He's going to speak in Russian. Go right ahead.
Again?
Now, we're going to...
We are not allowed our press conference to be overrun by political activists. You have an opportunity at the end of our prepared statements. You have an opportunity to pose your questions, and then we will answer them. And then you'll have a chance to have your say. This is what I'd like to bring the attention of everyone in this room. This is what we call homo fascism. Homo fascism is a far left, totalitarian mindset that attempts to suppress all perspectives about the homosexual community except those in favor of their position. And so when they hold a press conference, we don't show up to try to talk them down. We let them have their say, and we do not act this way. There hasn't been an incident like this at any homosexual press conference that I can think of for at least 20 years. And yet, every time the pro-family people come forward to speak the truth from our perspective, we are interrupted by those who don't want to prevent the public from hearing what we have to say.
Ma'am, this is not the time to read.
I'd like to ask if there's security.
Are you security for the press club?
Yes, I am.
I'd like to ask you to remove these two people.
Ma'am, who are you with?
I'm translating.
The custom in a news conference is to sit and let your colleagues ask questions as well. I want to be able to explain what I say.
If you ask your question, it's time to let the others in the room ask questions.
We didn't even get the question.
If you're going to continue to speak, you're going to have to translate what I say.
It's important for me, actually.
Did you get a chance to ask your question?
Sir, we're not even at the question and answer stage. We are still getting
I would like to ask you to remove these two people from the press conference.
Thank you so much. What is your name, ma'am?
For
information.
That's homosexual agenda.
I swear, Scott, a homo fascist.
Yes, we noticed that. I would like to stop the killing
that is going on in your name.
Thank you very much. You stop raping children. If you want to wait outside the building, I'll be happy to talk to you on the public sidewalk.
Please, I would love to talk to you anytime.
I'll be out on the sidewalk after the press conference is over. I'll be happy to talk to you about any issues.
Well, you know, this is just another, if you're not a pro-family activist, you'd be shocked by this, but The same movement that preaches tolerance is completely willing to censor and squelch the speech of people with whom they disagree. You know, this has happened time and time again. Diane, weren't we together in San Francisco where this happened with the homosexual activist Michael Petrelis?
Yes, yeah, we were there in front of the San Francisco courthouse. Absolutely.
Yeah, we were crusading against public perversion, public nudity, and Michael Petrelis came in with a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Or just, I can't remember if he had a bullhorn or not, but he just started yelling right over us, and the cop was nearby, even though we had announced our press conference, and we were doing it in front of, I believe it was City Hall in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The cop just let it go on. So basically, he let this homosexual activist take away our freedom of speech. And this is how the homosexual lobby operates. A lot of times, they yell people down. They're just complete hypocrites because they love talking about their rights, but they're not very honoring of other people's rights.
True. They just want to, they just want one side of the story, and that's their side, period. So, as we heard in the clip, the security did remove the three activists, and they waited downstairs for Scott. After the interview, he said that he would be glad to speak with them afterwards, and they waited downstairs.
And he did.
And he did, yeah, absolutely. The three have been removed from the news conference. Now, let's listen to what Scott said in response to it, and thanking the National Press Club security from removing the activist and his response to the whole situation.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I want to thank the security service for, of the press club for helping us clear the room. In fact, this, just to make a short comment, this is one of the rare instances in which a disruption like this has actually been effectively curtailed. Yes, all right. Well, just 1 second, ma'am. I just want to make a comment, so this is a teachable moment here. That I've been involved in many of these press conferences. I work with a lot of activists from the pro-family side. And this is one of the very few instances in which there's actually been in which people who have intended to interrupt and suppress pro-family speech have actually been removed from the facility. They usually win. Ryan Sorba, a friend of mine, went to speak at Smith College, for example, in Northampton. The lesbians actually broke the windows out of the building and stormed the room and would not stop screaming until he left. He couldn't make his presentation. The campus police didn't do anything, and that's typical. And I just wanted to thank the press club security officers for removing these activists in their effort to disrupt this press conference. So go ahead, Diane, it's your turn.
Where do we go from here as a coalition for family?
Yeah, Diane, I think where we go from here is expanding our coalition and more effectively working together and finding ways to get outside the media brainwashing, I'm calling it. Our culture, our especially young people, have been media brainwashed on this issue. They're only getting one side of the issue, which is the pro-homosexual side. They don't even know basic facts about what's going on. They don't know how many people have had their religious or their freedom of conscience stolen away by this increasingly aggressive movement. And so I think we need to find ways to work together to get out the truth on this issue, sort of to, you know, just to keep it alive, because the other side is very intent on essentially dominating the culture so much that they label people who even speak up against them as haters and intolerant, and they lie about them. And what they want to do is make it so the gay voice, so-called, is the only one that's heard in the culture.
Yeah, as we saw in the press conference, that's, you know, the listeners has just heard evidence of that very effort to make it just a one-sided debate, and that's their side. So how can folks contact you if they want to get involved or want to have any questions about the news conference? How can folks contact you?
Oh, thanks, Diane. They can go to our website, which is Americans for Truth, all written out, AmericansForTruth.com.
Okay, and I do encourage folks to do that because you always have excellent articles, and people can sign up to receive a regular email update from you, and I do encourage folks to do that. And I believe Scott's website is defendthefamily.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if people want more information about the Coalition for Family Values, they can go to defendthefamily.org, and I encourage folks to do that. So thanks, Peter, and well, we'll see you next time. You guys call a homosexual-targeted news conference, I'll put it like that.
Yeah. We'll get the next one so you can shout it down again, Diane.
Yeah, I guess so.
All you do, and thanks for taking part in the coalition.
Okay, hey, you take care. Okay.
Okay, God bless. Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323. or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.